I've been harping on this for a while, and what we believe and all that. But doctrine is important, and we need to know what you believe, why you believe it. Some people have got convictions. You can have convictions, but that's not real. It might be doctrine to you, but it's not Bible doctrine. It might be some own personal convictions. Now, there you can get convictions from the Bible. You can get that. You can get convictions. And some people, if you can't really pin it down with the Bible and have convictions from the Bible, then a lot of times it's just man's doctrine. That Jesus pointed that out to the Pharisees. He pointed out to the Pharisees, he said, you know, doctrines and commandments of men. And now there's doctrines of the Bible, and we need to know. And the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. We went through this before. Doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. It says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats. That's a religious doctrine that certain religions have. Forbidding to marry. Who do you, first thing comes to your mind is the Catholic Church. Commanding to abstain from meats, you know, only eat, you know, fish on Good Friday, which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. And every creature is a good, nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. And we're getting ready to have Thanksgiving coming up, and thank the Lord. I feel like we've made a turn. We've had, after October, getting into November, it seemed like it's October's just been a wild month and wicked stuff going on. And I feel like we've made a turn there a little bit and getting in the month of November and a month where you can thank God for his mercy. Take your Bible, look with me to John chapter 7. Look at John chapter 7 and look at about this doctrine thing. Jesus shows up and they said, what doctrine is this guy? You know, he brought a new doctrine. He brought a new doctrine when he said, love your enemies. Do good unto them that despitefully use you. Love them that despitefully use. So that's a new doctrine. Because in Old Testament, you know, you kill your enemy. And it says, verse 14, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters? You say, what do you mean letters? You know, being learned, having never learned. Knowing the alphabet, knowing all those that have this man have letters, have never learned. And Jesus didn't have to go to nobody's school. Amen. He didn't have to go to the public school. He didn't have to go to anybody's private school. He was God in the flesh. He knew, but he was obedient to his mother and his father up to a point. And the Bible says he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And the Bible says this, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So doctrine, he says, this is not mine, it's the Lord, it's God the Father's. And now you say, wasn't Jesus Christ God? Yeah, but he was made a little lower than the angels. Where people get confused, Jehovah's Witnesses get confused, whereas Jesus Christ became man. That mankind, or the Son of God became the Son of Man, so the sons of men could become the sons of God. So he became a man and made himself obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Where Jehovah's Witnesses and everybody said, how can he be God if he's saying my Father is greater than I? At that point he was. And he said the Father is greater than I. So he's part of the Trinity. And so when he became man, he was subject onto the doctrines and the commandments of God, and that's what he did. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Look in Mark chapter 1. Look in Mark chapter 1, and that's why you need to study doctrine, because a lot of times the new churches and things going on in the world today is they say, well, we're not going to talk about doctrine. We get rid of doctrine. We get rid of the Bible. We get rid of those things that cause the division. And they want to get rid of those divisions, they say. And the Bible, when Jesus Christ, he said, I come not to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. And what he's talking about, he said, a father against his son and son against his father and that kind of thing. What happens when you get saved, it causes division in home. Because your family, say your family, you're like some of y'all Catholic, you have Catholic background. And when you got saved, it's causing division. And it's going to cause, the Bible always causes division. And when you get to trying to live for God and trying to do what's right, they start saying you're in a cult and you don't, you know, all that kind of stuff. And start saying, oh, you're misinterpreting the Bible. But they can never give you a scripture on anything. They can't show you nothing from the Bible. They can show you something about what religion believes and what they teach, but they can never show you nothing from the Bible. So that's why the Bible is so important in a Christian's life, to know what you believe, why you believe it, and knowing doctrine. And what most Christians don't, and I was telling Anthony a little bit ago, I said, I learned how to read by reading the Bible. My wife read the Bible to me, I learned. And I wanted to know what the Bible said. I didn't want to know what, I didn't know what man believes, and I want to know what the Bible says. And then, you know, you learn what this guy believes, what this guy doesn't believe. I know about different things different people believe, but I might not take on what they believe. But I'm not going to, some of the things that they believe, I'm not going to fight with them over it, because it's not worth fighting over. But when it comes down to sound doctrine, when they say, you know, this is it, this is what you're supposed to believe, then I can differ with them on that, because of the Bible. I don't interpret the Bible that way. Well, the Bible's a self-interpreter, but I don't interpret it that way in my own life and say, hey, man, I don't believe that. I just don't believe that. Now, what verse did I tell you? Mark chapter 1, and look at, look verse 27, Mark 1, 27. Now, I know guys that they believe that a woman shouldn't wear pants. And there's some people here that believe a woman shouldn't wear pants. I'm with what the Bible says. A woman should be modest in her apparel. She should be modest. You got some churches that teach if you wear pants, you're going to hell kind of thing. Or you don't follow our doctrine, you kick you out. There was one church that used to have a door right on their front door. They had no women are allowed in the sanctuary with pants on. Can you imagine that? I mean, nobody could come in the door with pants on. You'd be in trouble. A lot of you ladies, you know. Now, I'll tell you this. I think a lady looks a lot nicer come to church with a dress on, that kind of thing. But if you can't, you say, well, I got a problem with my legs. I got this, that going on. Fine. As long as it's not skin tight like a scuba diver, you coming in here and showing your backside and all that stuff and showing you, you know. I had a woman come in my office one time, wanted to talk to me, and she was on something, man. I don't know what, she's dead now, but she was on something. And she wanted to talk to me, and she came in out, and I think the woman had an unclean spirit at times. And she was sitting in church, and my son-in-law was up here teaching one Sunday morning in Sunday school, and man, she got so mad and jumped up and ran out of here. And George was coming to church. He was coming up the road, and she was storming down towards Kenton, and she had stomping, man, just heading towards Kenton. And George pulled over and said, hey, sis, you're going the wrong way. Church is that way. She says, I hate him. I hate him with a spiritual hatred. And George said, who? And she said, that Michael Easter. I hate him with a spiritual hatred. He must have hit something that he was teaching on something. And maybe he was kind of smart at time. Maybe, you know, fine. He might have said something smart or said it from the pulpit. And she took off and went down the road. And then when her husband was sitting here. And she jumped up and she said, are you coming? He said, nope. And she took off. She come back. And she got, you know, but she was on medication a lot. And she, I guess she took something wrong the way he said it. So then she came in my office one day and started sitting there talking to him. She was on something, but she kept pulling her top down. And I said, sis, and she wanted to shut the door. And she pulling up her dress. And she looked at me. She said, you're looking pretty good now. You know, I said, what? And then she said, you're looking pretty good now. And I said, sis, what do you want to talk to me about? And she kept shutting the door. And I got up and I opened the door. I said, what's the matter with you? And then my daughter-in-law, Lynette, came in there, and she said, I'm talking to the pastor. And she says, well, I need to talk to him, too. Are you done? Because she ain't seen what was going on. Because the door would shut, and then the door would open. The door would shut, and then the door would open. The door would shut, and then the door would open. And she kept pulling up her dress and pulling down her blouse. And I said, sis, whatever you're on, you need to go home.
The Lord took her
He took her home. Yeah, took her home. She was saved. Now look at this. And they were all amazed. Back up verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered in the synagogue and taught. We were in that synagogue, Capernaum. And we got pictures standing there. And that was the very floor when Jesus Christ was there. That was the very floor that he stood on. And they were astonished at his doctrine, as for he taught them as one that had authority. So when you know what you believe, and you believe this book, and you got a Bible that you can back it up, you got authority. Your authority is from the Word of God. It's not that you are the authority, or not a church that is authority, or not that a religion is an authority, is that the Word of God is our final authority. It's our final authority. It's what we believe and stand on. So when you got the Word of God as the final authority, and you say, this is clear. Now, there's some things in the Bible, not really that clear, but you can line them up under certain parts of the Bible. Like it says, a bodily exercise profit little, but godliness is profit for all. So you say, well, see there, you don't have to bodily, it says bodily exercise profit little. But there's some other parts in the Bible that teach us that, it was a verse in my mind just now. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is of God, which you have, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. So under that category, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, it says that you shouldn't, these certain things that you should not commit in your body. And the Bible says if a man commits fornication, he sinneth against his own body. And your body belongs to God. So if your body belongs to God and you're sinning, you'll bring more of a death warrant upon yourself because you're a child of God. And when you disobey God's word, I believe this, you take years off your life. I really do. You said, well, what, the rapture takes place? Yeah, but still, we're talking about the judgment seat of Christ. He's at the sound booth. Esther, you sleeping? Wake up. This is Noah? All right, that's all. Hey, she popped up there like Pop Goes the Weasel or something. Prairie dog. Just a prairie dog. Stuck her head up. Where were we at? 27. 21. And they were astonished, verse 22. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, not as the scribes. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. That's what people usually say when they ain't right. Leave me alone. Don't bother me. I'm fine. I'm all right. You know what bothers me when you try to get people a track, and they walk by you and they say, I'm good. I can't stand that. I'm good. I said, are you really? Are you that good?
Good for nothing.
Good for nothing, right. There you go. I'm good. That bothers me when I hear people say that. I said, so are you saved? You going to heaven when you die? They have a different thing. But look what it says. And Jesus rebuked, saying, back up. Let us alone, verse 24. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Thou Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, that who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, rebuked them, right? And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? And what new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Now, when you have an authority from the Word of God, and you become and you study the Word of God, you have the Word of God in your heart, and you got the authority in your hand that you can stand and believe, and that's a doctrine, the authority of the Word of God. That's why we always refer back to the Word of God. Now, go back to... look at with me to where is it? Wrote it down here. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Go to Hebrews chapter 6.
Hebrews 6. Now, like I said, some people, some churches I know, I go to, they don't believe a woman ought to wear pants. And they think, and I tell you what, I was convinced at one point in my life that if a woman wore pants, she wasn't right with God. And Linda and I would go into a church after we went to South Carolina, and when I came back home and I went to church, and here's what I did. I came into church and I judged everybody. When I came back, I had this conviction. Thank you. When I came into church, I had this conviction. And I judged everything and everybody. And it was a church of 2,000 people. And I came in, I told my wife, I said, these people are not right with God. And we both looked at each other and said, yeah, they're not right with God. All we could see was the outward appearance. We seen the pants on women. And John Garner's dad is the one that helped me the most, the one that did most for me. He was wearing shorts one day. I was at his house, and they were against shorts. You didn't wear shorts. I still don't wear shorts, only around the house when nobody's there. If somebody pulls up, I run in my room, change clothes. My wife, she don't want to wear sleeveless blouses out, and she's out. She tries to be more modest. And around the house, that's something different. It's your house. But she tries to be real modest around the house and tries to be careful what she does. And we all both do. John Garner's dad was wearing shorts one day, and I pulled up to his house, and I got out. All I could see was not a man that helped me and loved me and prayed for me and cared about me. All I could see was a knobby knees on this short in his shorts, and all I could see was these shorts, and all I wanted to do was rebuke him. That's all I had on my mind. I'm going to rebuke this man because he's not right. And when you get like that, you know, I realized I was a babe in Christ, and what happens is when you start growing, you start learning when, why, and where, and all that stuff, the time to deal. You got to consider people's growth. You got to consider people's where they stand, what they believe. You got to consider those things. And what you're trying to do is trying to help them get to a place where they'll get more in love with Jesus Christ. When a person does what they do for the love for Jesus Christ rather than for the duty that's in them. I mean, I'm going to serve God because of duty, but I'm going to do it most of all because I love him. That should be our motive. Because I love him, I do the things that I do. But see, duty will kick in when my love starts getting cold. Duty will kick in my life and say, this is my duty. When my love gets cold and serving God, and everybody gets cold and once in a while, I hope just once in a while, but our love will get cold towards him, and then duty kicks in, so I'm going to do what's right because it's right. And that's what you do. And that's a good doctrine. That's a doctrine that I believe ought to follow. Hebrews 6:1. It says, therefore, having the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. So he's saying, go on. Just go on. And the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection. I want you to see that. Doctrine should make you a better person, not a more harder person, not a person that's always looking at everybody and downing everybody and seeing their faults rather than seeing what they can be. As a pastor, I look at people and I think what they could be, what they can do. And we do see their faults. We do see that. I mean, there's things that you think, does God see us? And what you got to remember, God sees you, and he sees your faults. Does he overlook them? He'll deal with you about them. Does he overlook them? Why? Because he knows what you can be. So when I went back to the neighborhood and looking around, I'm thinking, man, Lord, thank you for being so good to me, so tender towards me, so loving towards me, and spanking me when I need it. But God's a good God, a good Savior. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection. He says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Not keep going back to same old, 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 same old. Move on. Get past that. And Doc used to say this. He said, if you can't quit it, kick yourself around the block. And what you got to do is say, Lord, help me to quit this. I need to quit it. I need to stop. And God, give me victory. And you got to want it. You got to get sick and tired of it. And you know, it comes to a point in a Christian's life, you go down and you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. So, all right, we got to stop right there. There's a time already going by. Father, I love you. Thank you for your mercy. Help us, Lord, to hold true to the doctrines of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to study. Help us to read, give attendance to reading, to doctrine. Father, I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to learn more, to love you and serve you. And, Lord, I pray, God, when our love gets cold, may duty kick in for your glory and honor. Save that one. In Jesus' name, amen.